Bible this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 16 through 23, or excuse me, 18 through 23, and then we're going to flip to the chapter 3, verses. I'm going to back up just a little bit here with you this morning. I'm going to start at verse 10 this morning and go through verse 20 just to kind of give you a little bit more of the story. Now, we know the story well, Adam and Eve, and God created Adam and so on, and then Eve came from Adam from the rib, and we know about the fall when she grabbed the fruit from the tree, and Adam and her ate it, and sin entered the world, and we know those types of things go on, but we're going to learn about what the life of Eve was like, and more not really so much about who she was as a person, but what God had intended for her to do as being the mother of all living. And what that looked like in the eyes of God. And then, of course, we see sin enter into that, and things are flawed. We know that things are flawed, because all we have to do is look around our families, our lives, or the world we live in, and we know there's flaws everywhere, isn't there? And so we learn that today as well. And so let's learn about the life of Eve today and what God had intended for her. Genesis 2, beginning at verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And then chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. Now, we start off, this is God, they're in the garden, and so God is talking to Adam and Eve, and so God realizes what is going on, but Adam and Eve, they don't think that God knows. And so this is God speaking when he says, he answered there at verse 10. He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So God asked Adam, "Where are you? What's going on?" And he said, and this is God speaking, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Now that's the curse to the serpent, to Satan. And then we have two other curses we're going to read about here. The next one's to the woman, and the following one's to the man. To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, from dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have spoken to us again this morning through your word, and as we learn about the life of Eve and, Lord, her intentions and what you created her for this morning, Lord, may you bring that to life. May you fill us with your Holy Spirit. And for those that have gathered here, Lord, may you fill their hearts and minds and souls to receive your teaching today. May it strengthen their faith. May they learn to walk in this world according to your ways. And Lord, may you fill me with that same Spirit this morning. May these words be yours. In Jesus I pray, amen. Have you ever wondered how great the first marriage was? I want you to think about that for just a moment. Think about how good that first relationship must have been, because Adam married the perfect woman. Perfect woman. Can you just think about that in your own home for you that are married out there? And you know what relationships are like, and sometimes a little rough, sometimes it goes well, but yet this marriage was perfect. Adam never said the wrong thing. Eve never said the wrong thing. They never fought over who was going to do the dishes or who was going to do the cooking or whatever it might be. The perfect relationship. Now, we can't fathom that because we are tainted with sin in our minds, but we can dream about that, and we might think about those things and maybe in our own relationship of how we live life. But you need to understand, before sin entered the world, that Eve was the crown and pinnacle of God's amazing work. She was perfect. Think about it just for a moment. Adam, he's refined dirt. That's what it says in Scripture. For God took the dirt of the earth, he formed it, he blew into it, and created Adam. Adam's refined dirt. But Eve's just a little bit better because Eve come from Adam, the flesh. And God even refined it even more. Think about that. A glorious refinement that God created this woman from Adam. You know, Eve, she never had a mother-in-law. Now, to some of you, you might be celebrating. Think about that. There are some good things going on here, isn't there? Eve, but in reality, she was the perfect picture of what feminine excellence looks like. We talked about that just a little bit last week of what that looks like. A heart that's filled with just a calmness, peacefulness, a gentleness, and so on. You know, Eve had that kind of heart. For sin had not entered her body yet, or Adam's. You know, and God truly saved the best for last. This is the last thing that God created. Everything else is done. The world's set in place. The days are in place. There's night. There's moon. There's light. There's so on. The sun is shining. The animals are all there. Everything's named. Adam's walking on the earth. God is there in the garden. And then he creates Eve. The last thing that God would create. Quite impressive. God truly saved the best for last. And she was what Scripture talked about, a special gift for Adam. Because he had no suitable helper, nobody to relate to in his life, nobody that was like him, even in his image, until Eve came on the scene. Scripture gives us no physical appearance or no physical, what Eve looks like in her life as well. We don't know those things. We know that she was perfect before sin entered the world in Genesis 3. We know that, but we don't fully understand what that might look like or what that might be. We know that specially created by God from Adam's flesh, we realize that. So we assume that she was beautiful, that she was a perfect partner for Adam. They got along great. The relationship was whole. There's no issues between the two of them. You know, and then we think of Eve's name, the mother of all living. That's truly what that means. She is the first mom, like Rick talked about. I mean, they didn't have a guidebook of how to live life yet. Who's going to cook the first meal? As they sit in the garden and so on, and they look at this fruit and how God provided for them this first marriage relationship. And if you look at the book of the Bible, Eve is mentioned four times. not a lot about Eve in Scripture. We have her talked about twice in the Old Testament, and she's mentioned twice in the New Testament. That's all we hear about Eve in this picture. We don't know what happened to her. We know she lived a fairly long life. She had a lot of children and so on, but that's about it. We don't know much more than that. Some of her children, and I have that listed on the bottom of the screen this morning. We know three by name. Scripture does talk about that they had sons and daughters, but there no daughters are listed anywhere in the Bible. But we know that she had sons and daughters. We know three of the boys that she had. You know Cain and Abel quite well. And then the third one that's talked about is Seth in Scripture, mentioned by name. Those three boys are noted. And we see them in Scripture. They're talked about. Their families are shared and so on. And you know the story of Cain and Abel. That doesn't go well. One of them ends up being killed. But here's the point I want to make this morning. We don't know a lot about Eve, but this we do know. Scripture wants us to focus on the aspects of her life that are most important, that we need to learn from, that we need to understand what her role was and how we fit into that role as humans and what she laid out for us. So that's where I want to spend our time today. I want to take a look at those things. And so I have a list of things here I want to share with you this morning. So the unique method of Eve's creation is deliberately emphasized in Scripture. This we do know. God wants us to get this and understand what he's doing here with the creation of Eve and what relationships look like as far as they're concerned with Adam and husband and wife and so on. So here's the first point. Woman was taken out of man. Genesis 2 verse 23. That's pretty easy and straightforward, isn't it? She's not a different kind of creature. She's not foreign. Created in God's image. Very much like Adam. Think about that for a moment. In God's eyes, both of them stand before God as equals. Man and woman. He created them. Is what Scripture says. Now, the way Eve was created, the second point I want to make to you, reminds us that the ideal in marriage relationship should be between a man and a woman. That's what God lays out for us in Scripture. This is where God ordained marriage. This is the whole basis of why we hang on marriage between a woman and a man. Anything outside of that is not biblical and would be considered sinful in the eyes of God. And we've gotten a little skewed in that in the world we live in today. I heard an interesting fact over the weekend, and I can't remember if somebody here told me this, but they're doing research, and I don't know how they get this information, but 18% of the teenagers in the state of California do not know what gender they are. 18%. To me, it's pretty easy if you just look, right? But the world is that messed up. That's my point. The world needs to hear the word of God. When you have 18% of your youth in the state of California that don't know if they're a male or female, we have a serious problem on our hands. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But God lays it out here in the creation of Eve. He states it that this relationship is between a man and a woman. And we need to understand that this is where it starts. This is what God laid out for us. Jump to the third point with me this morning. See on the screen. In the creation of Eve, the circumstances of Eve's creation illustrate how meaningful and deep the marriage relationship is supposed to be. It's not superficial. It's not surfacey. It's deep. It talks about how we connect as with each other in the marriage relationship, and I can use my wife and you can use your spouse, whatever. That it's a deep relationship that connects to our inner being, our soul, our spirit. And God sees us as one, and we feel like one in a marriage relationship. We work together for the good of our family. You work together as well for the good of your family, and God intends it to be like that. You're just not roommates. You're just not here to have children and to have sex in that relationship. It's way deeper than that. It's what God says. And Adam and Eve's relationship points that out to us. This is how it should look. Seek those things out in your own life, that it's a very deep, personal commitment to each other in marriage. Eve gives us that example in Scripture. You know, Matthew Henry wrote this. Matthew Henry, he's written a lot of commentaries over the years, and he's back in the 1700s, 1800s, but he said this about the whole marriage relationship and what God intended to look like and be. This is what he wrote, and I quote, this is what he said: "The woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not his head to rule over her, not his feet to trample on her, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm of protection, and near his heart to be loved." So why didn't God just grab a femur, slap Eve together? Why did he grab the rib, which contains all the vital organs in Adam's life, close to his heart? You think God knew what he was doing? I do. When you start to really think about how God creates things, it's magnificent about what he has done. So you know what marriage looks like. Here's the fourth point I want to make with you this morning. Eve's creation also gives us some important biblical lessons about the roles of men and women. Now, we touched on some of those last week as well. We are created differently, right? We understand that. Now, let me just go a little deeper with you. We have different emotional levels and skills between men and women. We get that. God created us that way. We have different social skills between men and women. We understand that. We think differently. I told you last week, I'm not an expert on women, and I don't ever claim to be. But I know that my wife thinks different than I do, and you know that your spouse thinks different than you do. You might come to the same conclusion on a lot of things, and you agree upon a lot of things, but the way you get to some of those points are totally different, and that's okay. Because that's the way God created us, man and woman. And we can get all into the types of roles and stuff like that a mother plays versus a father plays and so on and so on. You know a lot of those things, and I've talked about those, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on those. But here's another point that I want to make with you this morning that's not on the screen. When God created Adam and Eve together as one, it gives us a bigger picture of who God is. Think about that. Because God's attributes are in women and they're also in men. Some of the attributes we do not share with each other. But all those attributes point to the heavenly creator, God our Father. And so we get a better understanding of who God is when we look at man and woman together. Those are some things we learn about God because he shares those with us. Now there's attributes with God that we do not share. We are not infinite. We can't be everywhere at once. We can't see everything that's going on in the world at once like God can. But we are able to love. God gave us that attribute. We are able to be gentle. We are able to care. And when you become a Christian, you truly give your heart to God, you also are filled with compassion from God. Now you look at your own relationship. You look at your family. Look at your mom, your father, maybe brothers and sisters, and look at their attributes. Now, nobody's perfect. We know that. But there are things that are different about us. And that's okay because that's how God created us to be. But in Adam and Eve, we get a better picture of who God is. And Eve fills that role of who God is. The caring, nurturing mother that she would become. Now jump with me here just a moment Now, everything is good and perfect up until this time. Genesis 3 hits the books, right? And we begin to see what this crazy, chaotic world turns into when sin takes over. And this is all part of the perfect world until the temptation and fall occur. You know the story. The serpent tempts Eve, and she picks the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And she passes it around to Adam, and they eat when they're told not to. But what I found interesting this past week, and maybe a lot of you already knew this, but in my study I found out something very, very interesting that I never realized before. The command that's given to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil is given in Genesis 2 verse 16. You know what's so important about that? Is that Eve isn't created yet. I thought, here's my point. Men, have you ever forgotten to tell your wife something that's very, very important? Now, we know because Eve has a conversation with God, you know, and the serpent tempts her. Eve knew enough to know that she shouldn't eat from that tree, but she wasn't told and emphasized enough. Apparently, Adam didn't say, don't ever eat from that tree, so you shall die. Adam probably just said, you know, Eve, I probably won't eat from that tree, and he left it at that. And look what kind of trouble it got him into. You can relate, men, because you have done something maybe to your wife when you haven't said what you should say to her that's very important that she needs to know. And we can sit and we joke about that. We laugh about that today. But there's some seriousness to this, isn't there? The fall occurs. And Adam forgot to tell Eve the importance of this tree. You know, but here's the point, too, that's a very serious note. God goes to Eve and says, what have you done? And he rants on, we'll get into the curses here in a little bit, but anyway, he goes to Adam and he says, Adam, you're responsible. I told you not to eat from that tree. And what did you do? What did I tell you? God says to Adam, they're having this conversation in the garden and so on and so on. They're trying to hide from him and they don't want to talk with God because they now know that they're both naked and la-da-da-da and God's trying to talk with them and so on. But God held Adam responsible. And this is the best part that I think we need to understand, you know, because Adam's responsible. That points to a couple things in your life, men. You are responsible for your families, spiritually, physically. You need to provide for them. You need to care for them. You need to scatter Satan out of your house or your family. You need to pray over your wife and your children and so on, because God's going to come to you someday. When you stand before him, he's going to say, whomever your name is, you're responsible for your family. Why weren't you praying for your son? Why didn't you help out your wife when she needed that assistance from you? And here's what Adam does. And I'm betting that most of you will relate. And it's on the bottom of the screen. God goes to Adam and says, why did you tell her? And this is what he says to God. The woman you put here with me. Do you see that? Right away, he tries to deflect. How many of you have ever accused your wife of something that maybe you did? Right away, Adam goes to that. See, sin's entered the world already. Well, God, it's that woman you put here on earth. You put her here, not me. He even tries to blame God. Doesn't he? Isn't that something? So let me ask you a question, men. When you start blaming your wife for things that you're responsible for, how does that go in your marriage relationship? Probably not very well, does it? Creates friction, doesn't it? Creates problems, doesn't it? You know, so we see Adam try to deflect because he kind of failed on his role there when he accepted that apple or that fruit. He knew what was right or wrong, but he chose otherwise, didn't he? And so the point I want to make here is this whole thing is that if you sin before God, your wife is not responsible for your sin. Your kids are not responsible. You are responsible for the deed that you've committed, each and every one of us. And so we have to get right with God in that area in our life, no matter what that is. You can't pass blame on to somebody else. And so we're taught that in this story this morning as well. And as a result of this sin, there's a curse placed. And the first curse is towards Satan, the serpent, and so on. The second curse is towards Eve. The third is towards Adam. I want to spend a little time on the curse that's towards Eve, because I want you to understand this, because it affects our lives yet to this day. Genesis 3, verse 16. I don't have that on the screen for you this morning, but here's what it said. To the woman, he said, "I'll make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." There's a lot going on in those couple of verses that we need to understand about relationships today. Pretty much the first part I want to talk to you about, childbirth and labor. Eve's daily life would become a burden. Hard choices would have to be made. Consequences would be faced. She would work with sweat on the brow of her eye, and death would become part of life. Childbirth would be hard, and it would take its toll on the body. In a fallen world, sadness, pain, and physical difficulties would be part of a woman's daily routine. So let me ask you this question this morning. Do we have any women or men that are hurting or struggling today, are having a difficult time in their life? And I bet most of you could answer at one point or another, yes, life is hard. That's the curse we live under. Life is hard. It's difficult. And so we need to come to expect that as Christians. We are not freed from that because we are followers of Christ. We live under that same curse as everyone else in the world. And then God goes on to say this. The two most important relationships in a woman's life are going to be hard. And here they are. The first one that's the most important to you is the relationship with your husband. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. You're not going to always understand each other. Things aren't always going to go well. The natural tendency for you is to want to rule over your husband. But the Bible says, no, I'm going to put it the other way. For he will rule over you. And this whole thing about gender roles and difficulty between husband and wives comes from Adam and Eve, from Genesis chapter 2 on, and we still fight that yet today. The messiness of what marriage looks like, and divorce can enter into that. Thank God there's grace and forgiveness. But that's the messiness that God says, this is what's going to happen now. See, and your job is to rise above that as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, and to take away those natural tendencies to rule over each other, to control each other, and live in harmony and love and peace with each other. That's not normal. You need to train yourself to act different, to be different in a marriage relationship with a husband or a wife, because what you do is sinful and will come natural to you to create a chaotic marriage relationship. That's bred into you. And by the grace of God, and I don't get how people who live outside of God, how those marriages function, because they must just be hard. They're hard enough when you have God in the center of them. But it's possible with God at the center of your relationship. All right, let's talk about the second most important relationship that Eve had to deal with, and she struggled greatly with, was her children. Have any of you stayed up at night and prayed for your kids? are worried about how are they doing or what's going on in their life? Anybody ever pray for their children? Have you ever stayed up at night and worried about them? Have you ever woken up at 3 in the morning and think, how is he or she ever going to get through this? I'm so worried about them in their life. And that's the second part of the curse that we need to understand that Eve had to deal with. How did it go with Cain and Abel? What happened with that story? Anybody want to tell me what happened with Cain and Abel? What was that? Murder. They hated each other. Think about that. That's the curse we face. So when I say, people, it's going to be a struggle with your children, I don't have to tell you that because you lived that already. Eve lived that. And God says, since sin entered the world and the curse is there, you're going to struggle with your families. There are going to be hard things that you're going to be down on your knees for and you're going to pray to God for because that's all that's left. And there's going to come a lot of hurt out of that. Things aren't going to be perfect in your family or amongst your children. There will be difficult times that you will face. That's what Eve realized. Those are hard things, aren't they? That her relationship would struggle with her wife or her husband and her children. But let me also tell you this. God's judgment towards Eve, and you can even throw Adam into that, was not harsh. I want to give you some hope today. Now, we know that paradise has been lost. Paradise is sinful. You live in that today. You see the brokenness that goes on around us. But you need to understand that God still loved Eve very much. He loved Adam very much. He showed mercy on them. He gave them grace. When he realized that they were both ashamed of themselves and they were naked before each other, God created fig leaves and he covered them and he clothed them that they could still be together in a relationship and so on. We see that right away. So understand that God is a loving God who cares for his people. He knows it's going to be rough. He understands it's going to be difficult. But you also need to understand, though, that maybe we see Eve and Adam as, you know, if they would have made better choices, we'd live in a perfect world. But let me tell you this. Eve was also part of the Savior's lineage that takes us all away from this problems that we have. The mother of all the living, in the lineage would come a Savior named Jesus Christ, some 5,000-6,000 years later, that would take away the sins of the world, and then Adam and Eve would even benefit from that. She was part of the problem. She's also the solution to the problem. God takes the bad things and he makes them right. We sung about that this morning, didn't we? That's what he does. Here's a good question I want to kind of end with just a little bit this morning. We've seen that God loves Eve and so on. So here's a question I want to throw out to you this morning. This is a theological thought. Do you think that Adam and Eve were saved? Being the first ones on earth, they sinned, they created all this chaos we live in today. So that's a good question that a lot of theologians struggle with. And so I want to just answer that briefly with you this morning and go through that. I believe they were. I believe that they were. We see God's grace evident in their lives. He made coverings for them. He clothed them. He allowed Eve to be a mother to all the living. We hear about that in Scripture. He allows those things to go on and to carry out. Because otherwise, you and I wouldn't be here today. He allows things to play out. And he assists Adam and Eve in their life. And here's the, so it's even a greater thing. We learned about who her children, Cain and Abel and Seth. Seth goes on, if you read chapter 4, he's going to have a son called Enosh. In Genesis 4, verse 26, it says this. At the time, people began to call in the name of the Lord. So we're several generations in now. Adam and Eve are still alive. There's a couple thousand people on the earth that have populated now, and that's a whole nother sermon I could talk to you about how that all came about. But anyway, the point is that how did Seth know God? because Adam and Eve taught them who God was. That's why I believe they were saved. They still held to the faith. And so one day, when we're all together again in heaven, you will get to meet Adam and Eve. That will be quite a conversation, won't it? Because they lived the perfect life, they seen the fall, and the rest is history. And thank God for Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said,